Watch a lifetime pass me by. Looking back on old days, glossy eye. Watching years go like my auntie's mom. We used to sit up in the car, park and rhyme. Now a night like that is hard to find. Looking back on old times, I can't rewind. Talking to my old friends, they aren't alive. No more the years gone by. Talking about years gone by. Let's take it all the way back to 84. Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it for the boy plaguing through the wall. Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it for the boy crawling on the floor in an old Willie in the state hall. He walked in 85, he ran in 86. We flew from a kingdom united into a land in 87. We settled in 88. We moved into a place called Avondale. First day in school in 89. It was me, myself, and I. Cause my mother couldn't find my baby brother. Must have lost him like that time at the supermarket. 5 candles on my Donatello cake. Celebrate life, sell a tape up on my hammer tape. 1990, I was a plumber with a pipe dream. Side of screen, hunting for mushies that were lime green. Light speed to 91, it was the year I made the skill and fell in love. Her name was Chun, and then we jump, 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 and bootleg pump. In 92, my drunk dad jumped ship on mom. In 93, I won my first fight like a D-O-double-G. Still mad at the man I wanted to be in 94. Got a hiding, and I tried to hide, but you can't keep running away in 95. So I tried my eyes to all eyes on me, number 9 on rewind, stacking my pocket money up to 9-6, blew it all on 6-4, blew my ocarina loud, swinging sword with the force, 97 hit the core, got slicker with the saucer, vocal cords dropping, I got slicker with the floors, figure 4 and 98, hit the floor in 99, doing 90s in my clients, trying to rhyme on the side, way back, when I had that red and black, sworn dry in my master hatchback, traveling back in time. I'm talking years. Got 1 year and that year I got numb. Then 05, he got out and got out of it at once. Then 06, my homie hung in the park where we all hung. Yeah, my shit got fucked up that year. My shit got real rough that year. Horse it on my brother, yeah. Fuck that year, but that year it taught me. Who the people that can fool me? For the people that just corny. When the phony homie disowned me, then call me when he saw me. On the cover of some magazine. I'm too brother, how you been? It's been a minute, I ain't seen you since we was at the screen. And more than 2007, and the solar blur from that to 2011. I was on a bender that went on 4 years long, celebrating for the first win I ever got. That was the same year LeBron won. Short run and a long run. Woke up when the swan sung her song and hit the gong. I was gone. They shot me down from the top of the poppy. Got too cocky. That melancholy got me and it forgot me. But everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs some Whitney. So when I met her, I said the ring. Me gave it a ring, then I said the king. Me. That was 2013. We moved out of the city. Had about 2014. Partners in 2050. Hit me hard, losing Ziggy. But the Middies stuck with me through the dark. Then my son came out, I called him Chrissy, and now I watch his eyes, watching mine, watching life on rewind. Too divine, in one line, in the same neighborhood I walked in 89, raising beers for the cheers, saying here's to the years gone by. And welcome to Kickats. This is Georgia. This is your Sunday night. It is 8:30. It is 8 o'clock, as it normally is. And you are listening to Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming the podcast at planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to the show. I am Georgia. We are hoping to have Richard back soon, but he is not very well. So we're wanting him to also take the time that he needs to take to get back. And in the meantime, we'll just miss you, Richard. We hope that you're all good in bed watching Netflix or listening to the show. Welcome to the show, Tess Barker. Sorry, you're having to move over to my red mic because we've got quite a full studio.
That's okay. We're used to being in small spaces together.
We're twins. So that was a really weird comment, Tess. Thank you for that. We do have a jam-packed studio. It's going to be a really fun show. We're going to have quite a lot of live music, which is cool. I don't think that we've ever had a show that I've been on where we've had more than one live musical act. So that's really great. On that note, welcome back to the studio, Captain Festus McBoyle.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
I'm so well. I'm hot, even though the door is open, because we have a lot of people in here.
It's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed. You have been doing lots of exciting things.
Yeah, it's been a busy... Oh, how long has it been since I came in last time? Good year and a half?
About, yeah.
Must be. Yeah, what have I been doing? Oh, basically, just recorded album number 3 for Captain Festus, Bubbles and Squeak, so that comes out April 26th.
Which is next week.
Yeah, a week away now.
Is that Friday?
So 14 tracks.
Cool.
Guaranteed to float your boat. That's going, very pleased with that one. It's been a lot of work, but it's come together really well.
Yeah, cool.
Big shout out to Amos Clark from Show Pony Studios for doing that one. And he's done a bloody good job. Yeah, pleased. So that's come out. What else has happened?
That's good timing because the next Family Fun Day is on Saturday.
On the Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
That's at the Te Ariri Peninsula Community Centre. That's our fourth one. So it's. I think when we came in, it was our first one, I think. Was it our first?
It could have been. No, I think it was your second
one.
Were saying how great the first one had been and how the second one was going to be quite
different.
Yeah, so
this is our fourth, and we've just received funding to do our fifth now as well, which is quite exciting.
That is super cool.
So, this one on Saturday, we've got Surrey Bout It, 8-piece, two-tone ska reggae band.
Such a good
Captain Festus, my lot. We've got Penny Ashton, who's the MC, comedian. I think we've got some Ka Pahaka performance from Matipo School. And, oh, what else is happening? Oh, there's loads happening. It's face painting, you name it. It'll be crazy. And it's free. So come down.
That is just, it's such a cool idea. Well, the idea of a family fun day. And
well, it's a fusion of everything. Yeah, it's a real fusion, and it's about celebrating diversity of culture and differences within our community. I think it's, yeah, it's a really good concept. It's a blooming good box ticker for council and for funding. And we've also got the food bank coming in with this one. So if you bring your food along, we're hoping to create a food mountain for our community.
That is very cool.
And we've also included local organisations such as Women's Refuge and stuff like that. So there's about 13 organisations on site who will be sharing their information with you and raising awareness.
Awesome.
For them as well at the same time. The RSA is doing all the hot food, so they'll make some money there.
Ooh,
and the local schools are doing all the cakes and sweets and cold foods. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sold, but the RSA food actually made me like even further sold. I'm really looking forward to that aspect in particular, but the rest is sounding good too. So we'll be able to hear some of the new record on Saturday at the show?
Yes, there'll be some of that played there as well, yeah.
And could we maybe get a little sneak peek tonight?
I haven't actually got much from that album, but I'm already on album number 4.
Yeah.
So my partner said to me the other day, she said, you don't write songs about me, so I thought, okay. And she's been on at me about a love song, so I thought I would write her a love song, and I gave it to her on the song April the 4th. Well, when did I play it? Oh, Valentine's Day, 14th of Feb, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I wrote a song and I played her that one, so I could play that one if you like.
That would be great. Would we mind just moving that green mic over, okay, and then we can get you fully mic'd?
And I'm just a learner. I normally pay people to play guitars for me because they scare the shit out of me. But I'll do my best, and we'll see what happens.
Don't do dishes, you don't close the door. I'll probably find a knickers on the bedroom floor, but you, my sweet baby, I love you. Look so pretty, but don't smell sweet. I could make a soup from the socks on her feet, but still, my sweet baby, I love you. They say that love may be fickle or love may be blind, but when I'm with my baby, well, I just don't know what I find. Still, my sweet baby, through the thick, and I love you through the thin, but you never close the door, so every Tom, Dick and Harry still comes in. Still my sweet baby, I love you.
This is a chorus, here we go.
Reep-bop, reep-bop, reep-bop-bop,
doo-bop-bop. You can all join in.
Reep-bop, reep-bop, shibby-bop-bop, doo-bop-bop. Reep-bop, she's got only 13 teeth and one glass eye. Oh yeah, she sounds like a trooper, but I wouldn't change a thing. In fact, I got down on my knee and then gave her this ring. Said, oh my sweet Lucy, I love you. Yes I do. My sweet little Lucy, I love you. That's true. My sweet little Lucy, I love you.
She poked me straight in the eye and said, you cheeky little bugger.
That song is hilarious and sweet. And
a lot of it's quite true. I won't tell you what parts.
So when is that going to be released?
That'll be on album number 4. Look what the cat dragged in.
Do we know when that's going to be? Because I just really want to hear that song again.
I have no idea. I'm just about to start recording it. It's been a lot of work just getting this one finished. Bloody expensive too. So it's been quite a process raising funds for that, and just had it mastered with Chris Challand at COG. He's done an amazing job of that. And the production level's gone up tenfold. Costs a lot more money, but I'm really pleased with that, really proud. And there's some really cool historical narrative stories on there as well, of how the captain and his crew got to New Zealand. So there's some real historical content in there this time. Yeah, stories from the captain's chest.
That's very cool. Did you already have those stories before you wrote that album, or did you have to create some of
them? Yeah, well,
as
I mean, because our whole show is musical theatre, so it's vaudeville comedy. It's basically songs, cheeky banter, historical stories, all mixed together. So there's prose between songs, and it's a real show. And I've basically developed a few stories over the years. We've been going for 8 years now, so it's come a long way in that time. So some of those stories I use for storytelling shows that, you know, that require more story, and I've just captured them. I've done another one on the last album, Ships and Giggles, which was about the HMS Orpheus, New Zealand's worst shipping disaster. So that was my first go at historical stories, but this is more about how we got that from Gravesend in London on the Minerva, which is one of the immigrant ships. So it's how I got to New Zealand and how we survived once I got here. So it's just a story that's evolved over time. And I'd like to do more historical content and probably maybe some short 5-minute television type stuff with stories and song. So it's always tied together with a song. It's a bit cheesy at the end and a bit funny to lighten the mood.
Out of curiosity, what time period does Captain Festus and his crew kind of belong in? Is it
whichever period they'll have him?
Yeah.
Flexibility is the key when you're an artist.
Yeah.
I'll fit wherever.
Fair enough. Now, you are double mic'd right now, which is a great thing. I would like to welcome to the studio Vinesh. How are you going?
Oh, welcome. Happy Easter. Thank you for
happy
having me
Easter.
On.
Happy Easter. Yeah. I haven't even said that yet. I'm sorry, everyone. Happy Easter. I hope you're enjoying it. I haven't had any chocolate. Tess ate a whole thing. Have you ever done the thing where you get a chocolate egg and you smash it on your head? Because I didn't know that was a thing. And then she was in the kitchen today doing it and then going, like, it hurts, I don't want to do it anymore, but this is the way that you're meant to open an Easter egg.
I hope it wasn't a cream egg. Apparently there's a huge amount of sugar in those things. Did you see that article the other day?
Nah.
Yeah, this is quite horrific, the amount of sugar in a cream egg.
Yeah, I don't really eat chocolate. It's happened between, because I'm 26 now, I'm like really old and mature, and in my last year...
I must be dead and buried.
In my last year, I've stopped wanting sugar.
Yep.
Like, I just naturally don't want it.
Well, tell me what that's like.
Yes, so no Easter eggs for Georgia. Sorry, that's my whole story. Vinesh, I am super excited to have you on after reading about what you're doing, the exhibition that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is called...
How much does this cost?
How much does this cost?
Yes.
I had that in my head, but I couldn't scroll along to check. Yeah. And you've taken photos out in Māngere of shop owners, is that right?
Yeah, the show's... started from the 13th of April and it runs to the 15th of June. It's on at the moment at the Māngere Arts Centre, and the show kind of started out, or the series started out with me wanting to, I guess, reflect on my childhood memories of working in a dairy. Mm-hmm. My old man had the shop, the local shop, and we always did hours at the shop, which we really didn't like. We were kind of forced to do it, but at the same time we kind of got valuable life lessons out of it. And I guess in 2009 I did a series called Open All Hours, and I photographed a series of dairy owners, and I think it was about a couple of years ago, 2 years ago in fact, where in the media there was quite a number of violent attacks on shopkeepers and dairy owners. And I thought, you know, as a photographer I need to do my bit, stand for the right. So I kind of thought, well, this is a great opportunity to revisit that series. And I went about door knocking at various little dairies around Auckland, and it was kind of heartbreaking because no one wanted to be involved. But then within that time of 2009 and I guess, 2017, there was a big shift. And I guess it was a bit of a challenge for somebody to kind of put themselves in the light and light. Even though I had already these fantastic series of these shopkeepers, everyone kind of turned away from it, shied away, saying that, you know, hey, this is just actually going to put a spotlight into what we do. And what I kind of wanted to do was to celebrate the role of the shopkeeper and the dairy owner. But in turn, it was almost like, you know, pointing the finger kind of thing. So that series didn't eventuate. And I kind of thought, oh, I can't give up on this because, you know, it's a passion. I want to photograph people, and I thought that, oh, you know, this is going to be a fantastic series. And it wasn't one day where I was until one day when I was walking through Mangere Town Centre, and I was looking around and I was like thinking to myself, oh, you know, maybe one of the store owners here, they might be willing to be a part of this series. And then I thought, oh, why don't I make a series of the business owners here at Mangere Town Centre? It would be a great opportunity to celebrate local shopkeepers, business owners. And so from there, I got in touch with a good friend of mine, Emma Tavola, who works for Pimpy Nose. It's kind of like a platform for pushing South Pacific artists. And I kind of chucked ideas around, and she was like, oh, hang on, you know, we can actually put together a proposal to local board, Mangere Otahu local board, and kind of apply for funding for this project because it sounds like a really cool idea. So thanks to Emma, put together this awesome proposal, which local board couldn't turn away from, and we applied to the local arts broker funding, which is within the Mangere Otahu local board. And thanks to Renee Tanner, she kind of believed in this concept of going out and photographing shopkeepers. So the project kind of started from there, and I had to find a way in. I had to kind of make people trust me because I was like the dodgy photographer, and I kind of had to gain that trust. So with connections to Studio 6, who were the design agency for Mangere Town Centre, I met up with them and I said, look, I've got this fantastic idea. I want to photograph these shopkeepers. I want to celebrate our community. And they're like, oh, well, this is a cool idea. We'll propose it to the Mangere Business Association. And so we set up a meeting and we got together, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm local photographer. I want to photograph our people, our content. Would you guys be willing to be a part of this project and kind of get you guys on board to push through this idea and sell it to the store owners? And they were like, oh yeah, this is cool. You know, we really can't afford your services. And I was like, no, you know, I want to do this for free because I need to be busy. I'm an artist. So they got behind this project. And then within that time, I applied to Mangere Arts Centre, put in a proposal saying, you know, I want to create this exhibition. We want to have local content that celebrates our community. And they gave me both galleries, which is fantastic. It's a massive space. So I got behind. Yeah, the funding through local board actually started this project. It was a year-long project where we had to build relationships. I got the business association to actually go out and introduce me to the store owners, and there was like cases of language barriers and, you know, translations, and just to kind of show what we were trying to achieve. So the main drive behind this project was to kind of celebrate our community and kind of connect the two, where the people from Mangere Town Centre would actually go into the Arts Centre and they can be celebrated in a way that, you know, normally they wouldn't be seen in an art context. And it was kind of like drawing people that never been to the gallery into the space, and also people that would hopefully come to the show would kind of think, oh, you know, we need to go out and see Mangere Town Centre and what it has to offer, because this space is quite unique. It's not like your major mall. They're independently owned. It's ever changing. So my drive was to kind of document a time and place, and just to kind of say that this is Mangere. This is the people that makes Mangere tick, and why not celebrate our local community as well at the same time? So, yeah.
Would you be able to tell us, I'm so curious about the stories and the people that you have photographed. Are you able to tell us a bit about the people that you photographed?
Yeah. It's really hard. It's layered. Firstly, the language barrier, and then the trust thing of, you know, this outsider, this photographer coming in, even though I'm locally based in Mangere, to be able to put yourself forward, to be put in this limelight. It's kind of like the unknown for these business owners that are just like, you know, I want to get in and just kind of do my 9-to-5 and, you know, make a living and kind of, you know, sell product and, you know, the stories, it's always the same case, you know, and me growing up at the dairy, I could relate, you know, the hard hours, the long hard hours, the little profit, the kind of things of like, you know, you're putting yourself out there. It's not a safe environment, but at the same time, you're providing for community as well, and you're part of the community. So, some of the stories are people are dedicated. They love what they do. It's their life. I know Dad at the shop running it for 23 years. That was his thing. Like, he, even going away on holidays, he'd always be ringing back and saying, oh, you know, how's the shop, you know, and have we done the banking, and, you know, have you made this order? So it was cool that I could relate to the ins and outs of owning a small business. So I dedicated this show to my parents, especially my dad, who worked hard and kind of told us you know, taught us how much it really costs, you know, when running a business. So, yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. How many people did you photograph?
I think there's 65 businesses, around 65 businesses at Mangere Town Centre.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there was about 45 different portraits that were taken. So at the show, it's two different medium. I've got stills. There's photographs, portraits of 18 shopkeepers, and also there's some interviews on video, five different interviews, giving you a bit of a background story of what it kind of costs in running a business, and kind of like the daily ins and outs and the sacrifices that's made in running a shop. So yeah,
it's so huge what you've been able to achieve.
Thanks to a lot of people. It's a solo show, but a background. I had, you know, thanks to Creative NZ for funding, and like local board, Mangere Art Centre, you know, the Business Association, Kingsize Studios, who actually funded for the gear for me to go out and photograph and document any time I wanted to, because it was like a bit of a juggle between the time that was available and actually not getting in the way of the business, because I understand, like, if you show up at someone's shop, you're kind of in their time, and it's quite it's quite precious, and you don't want to be wasting that. So the show, and it happened because everyone kind of came on board, which was really surprising. I just thought, hey, you know, I'm just kind of flogging this, kind of like making it up as I go kind of thing, but everyone seemed to come on board. It was just really fantastic, and just like quite a humbling experience as well, because having a show at Mangere, my hometown, it just kind of, you know, something that I can be proud of, you know. It's just something that I've got a connection to as well. So it's really cool. Really cool.
And while we're speaking of documenting people, welcome to the show, Morgan.
Hi.
And you were here as a director for one of the documentaries as a part of Loading Docks this year.
That is correct.
And the theme this year is power?
Yeah.
Cool. What is your documentary going to be on?
So, my piece this year is about Petra Leary, who's a young female drone operator. So she takes photographs from above, and the title of my doco is going to be called Bird's Eye, referring to how her work is all seen from a bird's eye.
That's awesome.
It's cool.
Because does it work that you have to pitch to Loading Docks your idea and you get selected?
Yeah,
so how it works. How did you come up with that idea? How did you get drawn to that idea and want to make a documentary about it for Loading Docks?
So I've known who Petra was since I was a teenager. She's she's well known in the Greylin sort of Auckland art scene. She's from a big arty family. I was this sort of meek nerd from Cambridge that, like, I was very academic, and I'd see her kind of riding skateboards around Auckland and having art shows and just thought she was so cool.
Skateboards are cool.
So cool. And yeah, I've just always known who she was and thought she was really cool. And then we ended up, her and I, working together at the same production company, sort of the only girls in a very male-dominated company. And she helped me put together my first pitch for, I think it was a music video that I wanted to make. And yeah, I just thought she was a really cool person and artist, and I followed her from there. Her career has just taken off. Like, her career is insane. She was just nominated as one of the Sony World photographers. Like,
oh wow,
there's like 7 in the world. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's really full on.
Yeah, so she's just been on my radar. Yeah.
Is this, Loading Docks is super interesting. They're 3 minutes long, aren't they? And they release a certain amount every year altogether about a range of different things.
Yeah, correct.
Three minutes is the right amount of minutes, isn't it?
Yes. However, they've extended that this year.
Ooh.
Yeah. So mine's going to be a little longer.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is it now that you can do, like, between, like, 3 and 5 or something, or is it, like, just a longer time that everybody has to do?
Don't quote me on this, but I think it's under, it's around 3 minutes to 12 minutes. So obviously some subjects would lend themselves to a shorter time frame and some to a longer time frame. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping mine will be a longer time frame, around about the 8 minute mark.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm talking about me and my co-host Tess, who's sitting right next to me. We last year watched, because I had never heard of Loading Docks before, and we had somebody from the organisation come in and talk about Loading Docks, and I went home and watched all of them in one go, didn't we?
It's a good binge watch.
Yeah, and they've got online them from every year previous, and you can go and watch them all, and they're all themed. So last year's one, we just looked up what it was.
Was it Impact?
Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're so beautiful. Yeah. I really recommend to everyone in this room, but also everybody listening, to go type in Loading Docks, DOCS, into Google, and it will come up, and definitely go and watch them. Cool. I just thought of a terrible segue that I've decided not to do, just so everyone is aware. Welcome to the studio, a man with an incredibly cool name. Tony Daunt.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is that the name you were born with?
Yeah.
Because it's an amazing name.
It comes from Cork, County Cork in Ireland. There's actually a rock off the coast called Daunt Rock, and it was so devastating to ships, pirate ships, that they had to have, but they couldn't put a lighthouse on it, so the Daunt lighthouse boats used to go out and have to circle this rock. I don't know, that's pretty much all I know about my name.
That's a cool name. And it's really cool.
It's a great story.
Like, it's cool that it's like your actual name.
It is my actual name, yeah.
Is Manic your surname? Is that the surname you were born with?
No, it's not. It's just partly my nature.
Yeah. Just one. Because that's a great surname. If I was you, I would have been like, yeah, that's named after a cliff.
My surname is Barwell.
That's a cool surname.
It's quite bizarre.
That's good.
Barwell.
Barwell.
Ah, Barwell.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a bar world that's done anything that exciting. I can't track one surname. Down anyway.
That's a good surname. Sorry, now we're talking about surnames. You were here to talk about some music you're releasing?
Yes. There's lots of it, by the way. So we'll start with Tony Daunt and the Dauntless,
yes,
obviously,
because you're a man in many bands.
Tony Daunt, but, so Tony Daunt and the Dauntless has just recently recorded 10 tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 tracks. And that we've just got back from Chris at COG. And so the next step is to package that out and send it out. Mm-hmm. But in that process, we're also, we've just started on 2 videos to complement the album. And we're just about to write a documentary. So we're putting that all together, and that will be part of that release package. So I'd love to be able to say it's going to be released next week, but I've got a funny feeling November would be nice. So that's been a long process. And while we're doing that, Swampland's about to record its album. So we've got 12 or 13 tracks that will make it onto an album. So that recording process is going to start soon, so those two projects will be running concurrent. And what else are we doing? Louis and I.
So welcome, Louis. Hey,
yep.
Hey, go.
Hi,
you've
going?
Got great glasses.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
No one ever says that to me. But anyway, your glasses really suit you. Yeah, it's different. So Louis and I collaborate in 2 bands but run separately, if that makes any sense. So I play bass in Louis' band, which is Louis Jarloff and The Lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then Louis plays guitar and piano and anything we let him in Tony Daunt and the Dauntless.
That's very cool. We had the guys from Sports in a couple of weeks ago, and they do the same thing with the two guys from 2 Cartoons. That there's 4 of them, and 2 of them take control of one band and 2 of them take control of the other band. It's a great idea.
Yeah, I've kind of taken that a bit further than that. So then there's also the Blues Assassins. Well, actually, let's get out of that. So then we go to, what about Swampland? Oh, yeah, the Blues.
You're counting on your fingers how many bands you're in.
I don't have that many fingers either. The Blues Assassins, so the drummer from Louis and the Lonesome also plays in the Blues Assassins. Oh, and he also plays in Swampland.
Do you ever go like, okay, everyone's here, what band are we rehearsing today?
Occasionally you show up with the wrong gear, but you kind of work out how to improvise. But yeah, if I show up with a guitar instead of a bass, it's never really a good look.
And is all of the bands playing slightly different genres, different music?
Yeah. So we've got blues, we've got some really hillbilly country, we've got some country rock, and we've got Swampland, which is getting more rock and roll as it goes along.
Yeah.
And this is all Rodney Fisher's fault. He sat me down. I was complaining I wasn't playing enough gigs. And he said, look, if you want to play every weekend, join a covers band. So I thought, well, okay. So I joined this blues covers band and then thought, well, actually, if I play in more bands, then I get to play more often. Makes sense. But if you keep the same members involved in all those bands, then you don't have conflicting gigs, because if I've got a gig, he can't have another gig because he's already playing at my gig.
Fair
so
enough.
There's some mad chaotic logic, but
Rodney's
it works.
The mastermind of many great things.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of that guy.
Yeah, of course.
He does all of the booking now for Portland Public House, and he's doing a great job. So this is just like a sneaky aside that everyone should go and enjoy Portland Public House on their Friday, Saturday night and be like, say really loudly, like, this music is really good. And then it'll be, good things will happen for Rodney.
Portland's actually quite a hard gig. So
it's an interesting
we play
venue,
there all the time, and I have done. In fact, before I started fronting bands, because I was always playing bass in the background, before I kind of cut my teeth at the Portland doing a lot of solo stuff, and thanks to Rodney. And lately, the Portland can be difficult because there's a lot of people there just for the bar itself.
Totally.
And if you're playing something that's a little low key, then the punters at the bar can get over the top of you. So it's you have to work really hard to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen a couple of times. We went and had a really interesting night there a couple of months ago. A good friend of mine, Harry Parsons, he was doing an album release, and he played, and it was great, but totally got overwhelmed by the crowd. And then some friends of mine, brother, sister, who are like a synth pop band, they played afterwards. And because they're more high energy, the energy in the room just totally shifted. And that was really interesting to me, how they're both great acts, but unless it was really high energy, the crowd was just not going to engage. But once the crowd was engaged, it was like just such a great energy. But it was, yeah, kind of an unusual thing to observe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the early days when Rodney had a KFC in there, Kingsland Folks Club, people were coming especially for Kingsland Folk Club, so it was a lot easier to engage people. But yeah, well, we just tailor our set lists and everything to make sure we can be heard.
Yeah.
Turn up to 11.
Turn up to 11. Yeah. That's it.
And you've got instruments. Oh. I would love if you were willing to do a song, but it might take a little bit of setup. So I might play a song while we set up from the Spotify's. I don't have anything queued up though. Does anybody have something that they would like in particular? Captain Festus. If I play. Is it the Simple Things in Life is the name of the song? The Little Things in Life.
Yeah, that's an interesting story with that one. That was that's just been selected as a finalist in the International Songwriting Contest.
I thought it must be that song because I saw
Tom Waits, one of the judges, apparently, which is quite bizarre. And I owe a big thanks to my partner. She said, just stick it in there and see what happens. And that's exactly what I did, and that's what came back. So, yeah, I think I'll find out this month sometime what the result is. There's two Kiwis in there in the finals for the kids' music. There's Anna Van Reel as well. She's another finalist. So
that is very cool. It's just very cool that Tom Waits was listening to your music.
Yeah.
I'm so into that. I can picture it. and the recording of it is so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. There's some lovely. Do you remember Angel from the Dog's Bollocks? Always did the sound of the big long red dreads.
Oh yes.
Angel Joseph Gordon. He played mandolin on that one. And Peter Toomey on guitars. Yeah, there's a real mixture of musicians on this next album. But that is it's a lovely little track, and the message is nice. It is the little things in life that are so important.
Here we go. All right, we're going to go into it, and then we're going to set up for some live music in the studio. Here we go.
The little things in life that make you smile. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Well, they tend to make you happy for a while. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen. Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you smile. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Well, they tend to make you happy for a while. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen. Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you glad. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Make you grateful for the things you have had. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen.
Captain?
What, Ratty?
Can I play solo?
Yeah, go on then.
Goodness me, a rat with a guitar! You're bleeding amazing!
Little fingers and toes, your tail jiggling away, look at you go!
It's a bit cheesy!
Yeah, I think that's his feet.
Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you glad. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Make you grateful for the things you have had. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen.
That was The Little Things by Captain Festus McBoyle. If you want to hear that live, I assume that will be one of the songs that will be performed on Saturday at the Family Fun Day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. Whereabouts is the Family Fun Day? Just remind us.
At the Te Atu Peninsula Community Centre.
Cool.
it's going to be a good day.
It's going to be fun for the family.
Definitely.
And now we're going to have a song live in studio. Tony, could you please introduce the song?
Yeah, this is a jaunty little tune about the methadone program back in the 80s. It's called Methadone Days.
There goes Mary, and everyone can tell that you lived too long, my dear. That same story that you lost to tell about Sydney in the 80s. I never knew her way back then, though she likes to pretend that we were much more than friends in her methadone days. And her methadone haze. And her methadone days. And her methadone haze. There goes Jimmy. They call him the Greek. He's been locked up one too many times for a crime of which we never speak. It's nothing too peculiar. Oh, they say he once was feared. Now his old tattoo death weird. And he skips round without a care in his methadone days. In his methadone haze. In his methadone days. In his methadone haze. Been on the street again. I'm on the corner since half past ten. I've been lost in what was now and then. These are my methadone days. I'm a methadone haze. I'm a methadone days. I'm a methadone haze. Methadone days, I'll see you there. I'll feel you there. I'll see you there. Don't take me away. These are my methadone days.
Have a go, Louis.
Is that going to be one of the songs that is going to be released?
That's on the upcoming album.
Awesome.
Cool. Now we're going to play a little bit of Hillbilly from...
Hey.
Louie and the Lonesome.
Two of us at least. Two out of three ain't bad. This is a song I wrote called Alice May. It came from watching too many westerns. Two, three... For that high noon for a girl named Alice May. Man called tune said meet me by the lone coast alone. So I rocked up with my Colt 45 and a rattle knife in my boot. And I rocked up lying ten to do your harm. And I said, boy, don't you know I'm the fastest draw in town? Does your mama know the fix you're in right now? And I raised my pistol and I shot him down before he ever had a chance to draw. So I skipped down about as fast as a bullet flew through that boy. night was setting by the time I reached that mountain high. Got a room with the view of, but all I ever see is Alice May. And I said, boy, don't you know I'm the fastest draw in town? Does your mama know the fix you're in right now? But I raised my pistol and I shot him down before he ever had a chance to draw. Six months later, as the cold was setting in, I pulled into some town. And I shaved my face and I shined my shoes up real good. On as I stepped out into the street, I found the sheriff's 12-gauge shotgun. And he said, boy, you know I've heard that you're the fastest draw in town. Does your mom know the fix you're in right now? I pulled that trigger and I hit the ground before I ever even touched my gun. Cheers.
You were so great. I'm like your new biggest fan. Oh my gosh.
Thank you very much.
Both of you move your fingers so fast. That's possibly to be from guitar players. So that song was about what was inspired by watching too many Western films.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah,
is that probably a stolen plot? But I can't vouch from where.
What do you tend to get your inspiration from when you're writing music?
Generally, other music is the biggest one for me. Mm-hmm. I kind of. It often stems from hearing something and thinking I can do something similar to that or a version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Tony?
Well, the difference between me and him is I'm 52 and he's 19. So when he comes up with stuff like that, it blows my mind that he can create a story from such a short time on the planet. Whereas, mine comes from just living a long life, basically.
So do you tend to write songs that are about your life and your experiences, or
it just kind of comes out that way? Yeah. It's like music therapy. So I don't know, Swampland deals with my anger issues and Tony Dauntless deals with my depression and my sadness.
My band gives some anger issues.
How about you, Rich? In the music that you write, where does you get your inspiration from? Obviously, your genre is quite different in terms of that. For what I know from your music, it's more targeted towards a much, 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 much younger audience, being children.
Yeah, I mean, Tony, I'm 53. I mean, I've done the hard yards in life, been there, done that, and I'm pursuing something quite different now. I've done the rock thing. Yeah. Got quite bored. So for me, my inspiration just comes. I like writing lyrics. I like poetry. I like English comedy. I seem to write songs in the shower quite a lot, just hum little tunes. Now my little stepdaughter, she's 7, so we write little songs and do little silly things together. So that's kind of new stuff comes out of that as well. So a mixture. Just I don't really know where it comes from. I just hope it still keeps coming.
So it seems as though kind of a common denominator for the three of you is that your art kind of seeps into all of your life and it becomes like a self-fulfilling thing that it happens all the time.
I think you summed it up, Tony. Music therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is therapy. Definitely.
100%.
Yeah, it's soul food.
Happy. Down. It's the only friend you got.
I wonder, Morgan and Vinesh, do you find that as well in the... Sorry, you have to move these mics back over. Do you find that in the art that you do as well? Like, how does that translate into the rest of your life, or is it something that's quite separate?
For me, it's life experience. That's where I draw most of my projects from, and also other photographers, old school, other street photographers, just drawing kind of the look, the feel, how it's lit. But generally, yeah, life experience kind of draws me to new projects, and it kind of, it is a factor in terms of how I photograph someone, I guess, in terms of getting that message across. So, yeah.
The other thing I heard when you were talking before was that, but that I could relate to really easily, was that burning desire to get it out. So you said you had this project, and even though for whatever reason it seemed to get shelved or moved around, I mean, that's what happens with us with songs. You take it to a collective and they can't see where you're going with it, so it gets shelved. And it just sits there eating away, eating away. And then maybe 20 years later you pull it out. Well, for some of us, sorry about that, but you pull it out at a later time.
It's like that old thing of if it was easy, everyone else would be doing it, you know, kind of thing. So it's a hard road, and the harder you work, and then when you achieve that project or that shot, then it's like, oh, you can give yourself a bit of a pat on the back, you know, because you've strived through the tough times and the kind of negative feelings that you had about actually starting or not doing it. So, it's always good to push yourself, I guess.
I always feel chewed up by the next idea, though.
Yeah.
At the moment where you're like, yeah, I can pat myself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I've got something else on the brew. Straight away. I really identify with the ideas in the shower.
Mm. Yeah.
This film I'm plugging today, it gestated. I remember the day I'd had some minor surgery and was, like, convalescing and just woke up, bang, with an idea and was like, okay, here's my next idea. Completely swallowed up into it.
Yeah,
that's funny. It seems as though that's actually something that's come up quite a lot, just in common with all of the guests tonight. Like I was thinking before, Rich, how you were saying that you've already got your next album planned, but you're releasing your third one.
Yeah, well, I don't have any plan B. I'm too old. You know, it's like I'm just going to do this till I fall over and die. And I figured, like, you know, like people say, how do you keep going? And it's just like, well, I just refuse to go away. And I figured I'd wear people down eventually and they'll give me a break. So it's kind of my philosophy is just to keep doing it. I don't know.
And it seems as though you've found, like, quite a lot of success, like, in the family fun days that you're doing. Like, this is your fifth one in quite a short period of time.
Yeah, we're saying we just got funding for the fifth one. That's going to be Mount Eden Albert. So it's another one that's just come through. I mean, it was true necessity, to be perfectly honest. I mean, with my troupe, where we're at, we've played most of the festivals around the country. There's not much we haven't played. So we've either got to go overseas or we have to find other ways. So what we've done is we've coordinated these concept events where we get... Well, my partner and I have done this together, and we get paid to coordinate the entire event, plus we get paid to perform at the event. So it's a double click, really. And that was through necessity. But at the same time, it's a really fun project, and it's a great thing for community. So it's, but it was out of necessity. The logistics of us going to Europe, I'd love to go to Europe, would work amazingly well in Europe, but the logistics of how much you can earn with a family, a child and a partner and a nanny and my friend who's my guitarist who's married with daughter as well. It's the logistics are what kind of holds us back to a degree. I think you just have to find ways of making it work.
Yeah.
And that's for us or for me personally. I mean, it's my passion project. I just have to keep finding ways of keeping my contractors paid, keeping them in work, and for their incentive to still stay in the project as well, because it's got to be viable financially for them as well. So it's necessity's been a big driver. And, as I said, I just refuse to give up. I just keep going, and I know I believe in what I do. I'm sure you are all the same. You believe in what you do. That's why you do it. And, you get those little breakthroughs. It keeps you going. I mean, it's a lot of it's smoke and mirrors too. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's, you know, there's times where it's real shit, but you just say it's going really well, you know, and it just soldier through. It's just what you do.
Yeah.
As an artist, I mean, there's good times, bad days. I refuse to go back to working a normal job, and you know, I still think of this as living the dream. It's not always that financially viable, but I pay my bills and I keep smiling, you know.
It's funny because I one of the things that I really enjoy about your social media presence is how positive it is. And, like
smoke and mirrors.
One of your videos got, like, a tremendous amount of views. Been a couple of months ago. And I remember seeing a post
17,000 hits for Little Things and 16,000 for Moolah.
Which is so cool. I remember seeing that and being like, yes, God.
Yeah, but neither of those videos was selected for the New Zealand Children's Best Video.
My little
but you know, it's just the way it is. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
they're great videos.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we had a lot of fun making them.
Should go and check them out because they're like, they're very cool. Yeah. Do you get the same people? Do you get the same people to work on both? Because it's quite special. What they are.
My partner, Larissa Loughley, directed the Little Things one with Amos Clark, and also directed the one with Amos Clark on Moolah as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, my partner's big. I mean, she's huge. She supports me through thick and thin, and she has to listen to my whinging and complaining mm-hmm. and my countless ideas and driving her mad, coming out of the shower going, I've had another idea. And she's like, oh, God, go away. You know, she's like, at the same time, she's an artist too. So she's a jeweler, she's a sculptor, a painter, a photographer. Yeah, and I'm just a pain in the bum, basically. But she loves me.
Do you still run the rehearsal studio that you used to do?
Yep, we do. Still got the rehearsal. Actually, so I know Tony. Tony from Band Days. Yep. Avondale. Yeah, the studio is still going. Manic Studios. It's it's a small room. It's a great sounding room. Get some great bands come through.
It's perfect.
And it chugs along. You know, it just allows me to be an artist, really.
Well, because there's quite a demand for that as well. Like good rehearsal studios.
Yeah, they're hard to find, and it's a really good, honest room.
Yeah.
And it's a good space. Still going.
Yeah. Cool. So if people are looking for a rehearsal studio in Avondale. Morgan, hello. So aside from making documentaries, what do you do?
Well, I actually play in several bands as well.
Do you?
Flanked by guitars here, yeah.
What bands do you play in?
So I play in this punk band called Cindy and this other band called Johnny and Mary, which is this interesting conglomerate of super groove, a member of Pluto, and just a bunch of other bands from, like, New Zealand Music Month 2006.
What do you play?
It's a great
year. I play guitar and sing in one band. I play bass in another one. Oh, and Cream Jane is this other band I play in. It's Brad Fafita's solo project, who used to be in Brand New Math. And
that's many bands.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
Well, good question. Brad's band isn't up to too much at the moment, so just recording with Johnny and Mary, and then I'm touring the States with Cindy shortly. Otherwise, I make films.
That's so cool. Do you do that freelance, or do you work for an organisation?
I'm an assistant at a commercial company, which is how I've learnt to make films. And I still work there, Flying Fish, so that's really cool.
Flying Fish, awesome.
Yeah, it's so rad. I love it there. And, yeah, otherwise I have a few docos on the go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are some of the documentaries? Do you have, like, a favourite documentary you've worked on in the past? Does one jump to mind?
I'm super proud of the last piece I made called Coco, which is about my friend's daughter who has diagnosis of Angelman syndrome, which is like a really rare genetic disorder, and I followed her going to Writing for the Disabled in West Auckland, and super proud of that. It's cool.
How did you get into making documentaries? Do you like remember when you first started to be interested in that, or to be interested in film in general?
Making music videos sort of introduced me to Flying Fish. They have a whole division called Fish and Clips, which is kind of a historic New Zealand music video production company. They made all the Good Shirt videos, speaking of Rodney Fisher.
Great guy.
Yeah. And I think I made a few sort of doco/commercials there, which kind of got me into looking through the vault of New Zealand documentary history, and I became obsessed with Florian Harbicht.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a Kiwi doco maker. He made this film about pulp. I'm obsessed with music docos, really.
Now, I nearly had his brother as a pirate guitarist.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Small world.
Sebastian. Yeah, nearly.
Yeah. Nearly.
Yeah.
How about you, Vinesh? How did you get into taking photos, into photography?
I went through art school and then, because I had the, it was weird, I had the option of doing an engineering course or going and doing something that I love. And I thought, yeah, we'll take a risk and go through the art way. And I didn't think that I'd become a photographer until the first year of art school. I thought, oh, you know, I could kind of make a profession out of this. It's my kind of business mind setting and thinking, oh, you know, I can make money. So, yeah, that's been my drive, like, in terms of making a career out of photography. And I guess after art school, I got into the world of commercial photography and freelancing as an assistant. And I did that for many years. And hasn't probably in the last 3 years, I've been out on my own as an independent photographer. And I guess with the projects, doing a lot of projects in the downtime, it kind of attracts more work commercially. It's kind of cool because when you're busy, everyone wants you. And you know, just doing the series here, I've had clients come back and say, look, we need a commercial job shot, photographed exactly the same way as what you're currently doing. So it's fantastic. It just kind of works, you know. So I've been very fortunate in that way. So yeah, it's just, I think creating work leads to work, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Rich, you used to be a rock star, didn't you?
Never.
How did you get into music originally?
I didn't start music till I was 20. And it was a guy called John Kemp. You probably know Tony from Scissor Men. John Kemp? Johnny no. Kemp?
Australia, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah. But no, so I was inspired by Scissor Men. They're a band from quite a while back, John Kemp. And I was so scared when I first started singing. I'd sing with my back to people because I was really embarrassed. And I copped a lot of flack for my voice in the early days. And so I started playing drums. And then I became a singing drummer. And then I just moved into singing from there. And I've been in bands, yeah, well, for a long time. But I've always wanted to get into theatre, which I was always too scared to actually do. And I just decided to take the plunge when my last band at the time folded. And I just got totally frustrated with it and just moved into theatre. And it's the best thing I did because it's the most freeing thing I ever did. And, yeah, I'm more comfortable doing that now than I ever was doing rock bands. It feels more real for me. It's just me being myself, being a bit of a renegade, a bit of a rascal, and just playing. And that's kind of when I'm at my happiest. Yeah.
Is it kind of like you playing a version of yourself that's just like extremified, like particular?
Yeah, I think the captain is me, really. It's just me being me, but without fear, I think. Yeah, I just like the freedom of it, and yeah, I just like to make people laugh. I like to have fun myself. I find a real sense of freedom with it for me, so it's definitely my thing. I think I've found my niche. Yeah.
Is there any advice that you would give for people to find their niche, to find that thing? And I invite that question to everyone because I can hear this enormous amount of contribution to communities and need to contribute to communities. And I think it can be, I'm a youth worker and I hear so much of the time when I'm working with the young people that they're going, you're telling me to be my authentic self and I just don't know how. And we're living in this world where social media is giving us comparison all the time, and I think it's really hard for people to find who they are. And it's really cool hearing all of you talk about these amazing projects that are so who you are. Yeah, is there any advice that you'd give to people generally in order to find that, to find people's thing and to keep going with it?
I mean, I'm really envious of people who find it so early, like 19. I mean, Jesus, what was I doing at 19? I was singing with my back to people and, you know, like, yeah, too scared to actually be me. So, yeah, I mean,
I'm envious of people that start so young. I think it's wonderful how you've got so much more support now for musicians, and there's so many ways of being schooled. I mean, Tony and I come from the school of hard knocks, and you just learn as you go, and you fumble through, and you do your best, and here we are. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I think today you've just got, there's so much more opportunity to start younger, and there's so much more support. Just do it. Don't be afraid. It's the best advice I can. Yeah, that was the best advice I ever got was, don't give a shit. Just do it.
You can't
it's coarse, but it's true.
You can't save your ass and your face at the same time. So, just step up to the plate.
That is such a good saying.
Oh, it saved me a lot of times.
Yeah. That's really great. I'm going to add that to my mantra. My main mantra is worry about the things worth worrying about. And I found that really good, like, because I've gone into working in music full-time in the last couple of years, and I was really scared to do that because I just had all these, like, doubts about, like, who I was and whether I was capable enough. And, like, I'm you'd be well aware that the industry can be really catty, and it's very much like... Like the best way to ensure that you're not on the bottom is to like bring other people down. I've found that there's a lot of that within the industry, so I've just like got this mantra in my head, like worry about the things worth worrying about, and like you just do you and be nice and don't compromise like who you are. And I found that has like I've been pretty solid in that, and it's been pretty good for the most part, but there are moments where it's like really hard,
you know. It's really funny, it's just something you said there. The best times I've had in my life in this industry are when we were trying to help, or when I've been a part of something, or myself motivated to help other people and try to bring other people up, involve other people in your music, create projects that are interactive, put on shows and introduce other bands that don't normally get a shot to come along. We used to put on shows at the King's Arms, and you take on a hell of a lot of risk financially to get in there. But, you know, you get a whole lot of bands up that weren't getting a lot of exposure, so to speak. And I don't know, things seem to work when you are.
I think people don't forget it as well. I think people don't forget it when you've helped them out, and that sense of
that's not necessarily true. But the idea is, don't get that chip on your shoulder about I've given this guy 10 gigs and I've never got one off him. But you know, it just seems the more you put out into the universe, the better things get. And also, one of the things when Swampland first started, one of the things I tried to get the guys to do was to make sure that everyone we dealt with got paid. And I know it's just a really silly thing, but if somebody did a t-shirt design, if somebody did a t-shirt, Richard's an artist, if someone did a t-shirt design for me, then or poster design, they got $50. It's not like, who can we get to do this for free? Who can we get to do this for free?
You pay what you can, and you give them a credit.
Yeah,
it goes a long way.
But yeah, exactly. And you know, the funny thing is,
such a small thing, but it's huge.
Yeah, and then next time when you need something, there's more people who want to help you.
Well, I mean, it's like creating a family, isn't it? It's like it's an extended family. You work with people who you get on with, and you all help each other out, and you scratch each other's backs, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah,
because that person knows somebody else, and it just feeds. It's a mutual feed. It keeps growing, I think
as well. When people do take advantage, it really gets talked about, and no one wants to be that guy that people are saying like, hey, now he's going to take advantage, you know, because you do hear about it, people talk about it, like it's a small community. It's like everybody wins if you're like community minded. Louis, so you what do you do in your life to be so good at music?
I don't know if I'd say that, but I guess it is a large part of my life and essentially always has been, which I have my parents to thank for that.
Yeah.
I kind of put a guitar in my hand when I was young and put a piano in my hands. Well, not on my hands. That would be abusive, but... And so I think, like, working with other people is the biggest sort of... a big important part about it in terms of collaboration and... Can't really do anything on your own within the scene, so
Is it your intention to play music like as a career, music like career in inverted commas? Because I just feel like as the thing that you do in your
I would like to. Even if it isn't financially 100% of what I do, I won't stop ever.
would you guys be prepared to do another song?
Yeah,
sure. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Cool. Could we move that mic down?
What you couldn't see at home, as I was just pointing out, that he's actually worn out a section on his neck from...
The guitar neck, not my actual neck.
Mind you.
Well, he is 7 foot tall.
I wish I'd practiced that much when I was his age. What are we going to do?
I don't know, you're the boss.
How are you doing?
Do you want to do Don't Go Out?
Well, let's do Don't Go Out.
This is a song I wrote with a friend of mine a little while ago. It's called Don't Go Out Tonight.
Is that about turning 52? I don't go out much.
It would be cool.
I'm quite happy, though.
8:30.
Pots of tea, you know. There's nothing quite like it.
Tell you, when you get to 53.
One, two, three. I was born dead, youngest of five. In a hellhole, you know I barely survived. But you are a shining light in my life. So don't go out tonight. Go out tonight, darling, stay by my side. Well, I ain't got much, but I still got my pride. So don't go out tonight. I used to call you my desert dove. We came up with better ways to show our love. A meeting between your ships down high. I woke up. Stars watch down from above. So don't go out tonight. Darling, stay by my side. Well, I ain't got much, but I still got my pride. Don't go out tonight. Know you even tried pulling some tricks. Make a little extra money on the side. And just so I could afford to keep that old rusty motorbike. You know, baby, sometimes I hate myself. Go out tonight.
go out tonight.
That was so nice.
Cheers.
So is that, can we find that song online or it's yet to be released?
It's yet to be released. We're sort of in the process of getting together to get into the studio to record the first album under this incarnation, so that's very exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now we've got 10 minutes left of the show. We've come to shameless promotion, which is basically where our guests tell us the details for what it is that they've been talking about tonight. Yeah, so it's probably appropriate to start with you both. Could you tell us where people can follow your music, your Instagram? I've just followed both of you on Instagram, by the way.
Thank you.
Your Instagram handles, your Facebook, when stuff's going to be coming out, etc.
Alrighty. Well,
you're organised. You've got a list.
I've got a list that includes both of us. So
we have the same schedule.
So I've got Tony Daunt and the Dauntless have a website, Tony Dauntless and Tony Daunt and the Dauntless.com, and then swampland.co.nz. Both of those you'll find on Facebook. Also, don't forget to like it. Like it. It's so important. The Blues Assassins also have a Facebook page. And
I'm on Instagram at Louis Jarlove and the Lonesome, and Facebook under the same name.
Excellent. And if you want to come along and see either of us or both of us together, you can head down to the Horse and Trap on Saturday the 18th of May, where you'll see Swampland. On the 1st of June, Swampland and Louis Jarlove and the Lonesome will be appearing at the Portland Public House. Saturday the 15th of June at the Horse and Trap, the Blues Assassins. And Saturday the 29th of June, Tony Daunt and the Dauntless and Louis and the Lonesome will be appearing at the Horse and Trap.
Awesome. We will see you there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It was awesome.
Oh, you're very welcome. Morgan,
yes.
Could you please give us the details for this year's Loading Docks and also for the Boosted campaign?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, my Boosted has just closed. However, we've smashed the goal, so woo-hoo, that's all good there. Yay, thanks, Boosted. I should plug Petra Leary's solo show, which is going to be happening at the Flying Fish Studio on the 17th of May, which is going to be featured in my doco, which is very exciting. And Tom Scott is DJing, who just won the Tate Prize.
Who we started the show with.
Great. Correct. So, yeah, 17th at the Flying Fish Studio, 230 Ponsonby Road. Everyone's welcome to come and have a beer and check out her work. It's going to be awesome. Her Insta handle, which is super cool and you should totally follow, is at Petra Leary, P-E-T-R-A-L-E-A-R-Y.
I'm doing it.
And I'm small underscore Mo, M-O-E. That's my nickname.
Cool. And do you know when the Loading Docks are going to be released for this year?
They'll be online in October this year. Okay. And they'll be having a cinema screening and they'll be in festivals locally and internationally, and you can actually watch Loading Docks on Air New Zealand flights, which is awesome. It's so cool.
And if you can't wait until October or until the next time you hop on a plane, they have all of them online as well. If you just type into Google Loading Docks, you can watch the last couple of years' worth, and I would really, really recommend that.
Yeah,
it's a great
beautiful
thing to do. It'd be a good thing to do on a first date, I reckon.
Totally.
Because you'd really get a good idea of like what they're interested in.
Absolutely.
Depending on what they thought of the different docs. Do it on your next date, guys. I don't know why I said that. Vinesh, can you please give us the details so we can go along and see your beautiful photos?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that this is quite large-scale portraits as well, so 2 metres by 1.3, and it's stuck onto the wall, so it's life-size. Yeah, it's at the Mangere Arts Centre. For those of you who want to venture out south, please do come along. It's on till the 15th of June. And I'm also doing an artist talk on the 8th of June, which is on the Saturday from 11 to 12. So it gives you a bit more about the show, about the stories, about what makes me tick. And maybe there might be some food as well for you guys. So, yeah, come along. I'm on Instagram, V Kumaran. and also my website, VineshKumaran.com. Yeah, if you want some beautiful portraits done, come see me.
Thanks, sign me up. Thank you so much for coming in again, Captain Festus.
Thank you.
Could you please give us the details again for your family fun day, but also where people can listen to your music?
Sure. I'm just on Spotify as Captain Festus McBoyle. Instagram is Captain Festus. But all my links are accessible from CaptainFestus.com. We've got the mashup on the 27th. Yeah, album comes out the 26th, Bubbles and Squeak. But I've also got a big New Zealand Music Month event happening called the Bullrush Bonanza Extravaganza.
Great.
And that's with Levity Beat, Mr. Robarelli and Captain Festus, and that's at the Winchester Club. That will be massive, and all tickets to that are available through Under the Radar.
Cool.
They're $15 pre-sales, $20 on the door, and that's backed by the Kiwi Kids Music Collective as well. So there'll be lots of special guests popping in to say hello. Cool. So it's going to be a brilliant event, that one. And that's Rodney Fisher. She's been very helpful with that Music Month event.
We're a big fan of him on the show, and especially tonight. I'm going to have to send him a message for him. Make sure you listen to the show, man. He's a great guy. I'm just going to close the show, but I was wondering if you wouldn't mind actually taking us out with a song.
Sure.
If that would be okay?
Yeah, okay. A nice serious song.
For all of our guests that came in tonight, we will be putting up the link with the podcast up over the next couple of days, and I will be tagging everybody so you can go and follow their pages and get all the details if you missed them. If you would like to come into the show and talk about a project that you're working on, please do email us, our amazing producer Marianne at kickarts1@gmail.com, or otherwise give us a like on Facebook, just kickarts. And send us a message through there. We would love to have you on, and we would love to hear from you. It's been a great show. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. I've really enjoyed myself. I've really enjoyed all of the music.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, it's a serious song. It's a snot song. It's called Bogey Bogey.
Bogey Bogey, come big and smoke. Bogey Bogey, roll him into a bowl. Bogey Bogey, serve him up on a plate. Bogey Bogey, say, taste so great. Here's bogey number 101. Ooh! Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey, there's so much you can do. Here's bogey, and that one's for you. Oh, pardon. Bogey, bogey, wipe on your mum. Bogey, bogey, don't harm the sun. Bogey, bogey, wipe on your dad. Bogey, bogey, make the moan your sad. Bogey, bogey, one for you, one for me. Here's a bogey and that one's free.
Woo!
Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey, there's a knock at the door. Could be bogey number 104. Bogey number 104.
Thank you. And I always find it's a good thing to try and pick a winner.
I should look, it's my fault. I should have mentioned this earlier, but snot is my least favourite bodily fluid.
I can see you gagging in the corner there.
There was real gag action happening during that.
It's the least I could do.
Is that song going to be on?
That's actually on the first album. That's called A Pirate's Life.
So people can find that on the Spotify?
Yeah, Pirate's Life and Ships and Giggles are already loaded up. The first two singles, Moolah and The Little Things, are released as singles there on Spotify. But the actual album will be, third album will be April 26th. The whole thing will go live. So, yeah, it's all there.
Very exciting.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for the show. That was Kickarts. I was Georgia. I won't see you next week. You'll be here with Marianne, but I'll see you in a couple of weeks, everyone. Go out there and kick some up. ¶¶
Whatever, 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 whatever.